I'm Kier from In Defense Of, a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the one you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1...
This is PopXcast, where science fiction meets pop culture. We are a geek podcast for geek culture, so are you ready to get your geek on? Sit back, relax, step out of your TARDIS and warm up your chimichangas, because this is PopXcast.
You are listening to PopXcast, where science fiction meets pop culture.
Captain's Log Supplemental.
PopXcast.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Welcome, everyone, to PopX podcast number 37, coming to you live right here on PopX.live. Hey, I want to say, man, Austin, so did you enjoy the movie this week? I know we're going to dive into it, but overall, give me one word that would sum up Doctor Strange in your mind.
Spectacular.
Okay, I'll take that. All right, I'll take a spectacular. That's awesome. So we'd like to welcome everyone right now to PopX, where science fiction meets pop culture. I'm your host, Joe Burke, Central Florida's seasoned comic book nerd and retro enthusiast. We'd like to welcome everyone right now joining us live in the PopX.live chat room and the Geeks.live chat room. Come hang out with us and join the conversation at PopXcast.com.
And I am Austin Burke, the Appalachian geek at heart. If you guys missed last week's episode 36, our top favorite horror and thriller movies and Halloween traditions, please check out our official website at popxcast.com. And be sure to head over now to Google Play and or iTunes, click that subscribe button, and catch up on some amazing shows from the PopX archive. While you're there, leave us a beautiful, wonderful, and glowing 5-star rating and review. We certainly appreciate it. Joe, I'm in a great mood, man.
Dude, I am too, man. I want to give a huge shout-out right now over to our friends that's in the chat room right now. We got Lindsay Badger hanging out with us. But so, all right, man, thanks for introing. And, man, I tell you what, I am super excited for this week's show. We have got
It's a great show, man.
We've got so much lined up for you, and we've got some really cool things that you will only find out here on PopX, some Easter eggs. But in terms of news, here we are rolling out the beautiful news. We'll be right back in just one second.
Extra, extra, read all about it. This is PopX News, coming to you live. Right here on PopXcast.com.
All right, we do apologize for the echo earlier. I unfortunately had a button on my knob, Do you like that? Oh my God. I had a button on my knob that just kind of exploded. It was just amazing.
It happened, man.
I mean, explosions. But anyway, the news leading off this week on Thursday, November the 2nd, the official trailer for Wonder Woman was released, and the 2-minute, 35-second trailer offered pretty much a lot to take in. It's a visual spectacle to behold, and if you haven't seen the trailer, definitely go over and check it out on some of the streaming platforms like Superhero Hype or one of the others. But from amazing action to the stunning landscapes, superpowers, and lots of bullet deflecting. It was truly amazing. So what did you get a chance to see this new trailer, Austin?
It was about an hour and a half after it came out. I got off work and I ran to my car to do a trailer reaction because my microphone was in my car.
Did you really?
I can do it. I did, man. I loved it. I loved everything about it. I loved the music. I loved the action, the slow motion effects, man. The shots, the directing looks beautiful.
What about Chris Pine, man?
Chris Pine. Okay. This year alone, with Star Trek and Hell or High Water, he has been incredible. But in this movie, he looks like he's playing a different role than he has in the past. Mm-hmm. So I really do think with all the acting and the directing, I think this could be DC's, like, launching the big hit that DC needs.
Ooh, yeah. I really felt, too, that I don't want to kind of put too much out there and say something and then it totally just be a bomb. But from this trailer, it kind of looks like it's a really good step forward into the DC direction. And it's a really good origin story of Wonder Woman. And finally, after almost 40 years, we get a movie that lives up to the true legacy that is Wonder Woman. And I think so we get to see Diana and all of her action, and the Amazonian princess queen comes, and she just, oh, my God, it's so beautiful. So be sure to check it out.
Yes, absolutely. So moving on here with the departure of Tim Miller from Deadpool 2. Ah, this sucks. Due to creative differences, there is another exit from the sequel with Junkie XL also departing, who created an amazing soundtrack from the first film. And there's some concern for the film going forward. Joe, what'd you think about this news, man?
I'm actually torn, man. I'm like, dude, I'm like, all right, so you created this perfect masterpiece of an origin story film of Deadpool.
Yep.
And now you're just walking away from it due to a quote-unquote creative differences?
That's what they're saying.
That sounds like somebody just got their butt hurt and they didn't know how to react to it. I mean, it's the industry. Grow up and move on. I mean,
exactly.
What is creative? What does that even mean? I mean, I don't know.
I think there's more to it.
I think there's a lot more to it. I think it's probably something with contractually some kind of involvement or something like that. But Tim Miller, I mean, he and Ryan Reynolds single-handedly created the Deadpool movie itself as we know it, between scripting and the acting and everything.
They said the creative differences were actually between Ryan and Tim, and I guess the studio just said, hey, we're either going one way or the other, and of course you're going to go with Ryan Reynolds because he's the producer and he's the character of Deadpool.
He is Deadpool,
But I don't get it, because they also said that Tim Miller wanted a huge budget, but from all the interviews and stuff that he did for the first movie, he was always against a big budget because that's the reason Deadpool worked. That's why I think this is kind of like, oh, there's got to be something else. It has to be.
I don't know, man. But, you know, if it's left in Ryan Reynolds' hands, who Ryan Reynolds was a big, I guess, activist. I don't want to say activist, but he was a big antagonist in getting the Deadpool made into a film in the first place.
Yes,
and of course, that's why Mr. Wolverine, we have Hugh Jackman, that's why he's such a big part of it as well, because Hugh Jackman had a big role in that with his Fox pull into X-Men. But anyway, moving on, in January, Netflix will be releasing another of its most anticipated shows with a series of unfortunate events, which is based on the Lemony Snicket's novels. Neil Patrick Harris has been revealed as Count Olaf.
Oh,
Austin, did you see? Look at that.
Okay.
That looks
pretty
good.
I read these books as a kid. Okay, I read every single one of them. And I actually, when I was younger, I've not watched it recently, but I love the Jim Carrey movie too. One, because it was Jim Carrey, and two, because you got to see this book come to life. With a Netflix series, you are getting, I think, 8 to 10 episodes is how long this is going to be. But you literally get to cover each chapter of the book. And they're saying every season is going to be a different book. I think this is the perfect way to do the story. Perfect.
And so it seems like, just like how Netflix is branching out with Stranger Things, they're getting now into the more of the same. I don't want to say that like a series of unfortunate events is like a Tolkien kind of legacy, but it is kind of like that, you know, magical, whimsical type thing. So I think Netflix is single-handedly killing cable television.
Doing it right, man.
I'm telling you.
They know how to do it, man.
Yes.
So let's move on to some DC stuff here. We have Kiersey Clemons will be playing Iris West in the Flash movie, but we may see her a little sooner as Iris West will be making a cameo in the Justice League movie.
Oh, Iris West, that is, of course, the daughter of Joe West, who is also the father of Wally West, who is also a speedster as well. So, wow, the whole West family is coming to that is really cool. It's really, and so what are your thoughts on, like, you know, what do you have any beef with, like, the television version versus the cinematic version, or are you just like, you know, I understand the characters, it is what it is, and I'm just ready to see it?
It sucks because we're so connected because, you know, you and I both were invested in this Flash CW universe, and we're so connected to Grant Gustin as Barry Allen. We're so connected to that universe. It's hard to set aside your feelings for one show over the other, but I do like the fact that they're separating these because I think they need to be separated. But this also leaves open the idea of maybe, I don't know, maybe the TV could be its own universe and the movies could be a universe, and one of these days they could maybe meet. I don't know. I like the way they're doing it. I think they're going about it the right way.
Absolutely. Agree. I will second that. Agree. So as Marvel continues to roll out films as a part of its Phase 3, talks of Phase 4, which could include the Inhumans as well as other unexpected team-ups, and the MCU could vastly be different after the Avengers Infinity Wars, Kevin Feige said during an interview. So it looks like as Phase 3 is wrapping up and Phase 4 is continuing to roll out, we're going to be beginning to probably see the expanded Marvel Universe come to the cinematic universe. And what I mean by that is the Inhumans. It's going to be like Guardians of the Galaxy, more of that flair that's going to be coming out, because ultimately, if you've read the comics, and I'm not going to be spoiling anything in Infinity War, Captain America dies, but I'm just letting you know right off the top of the bat, there's going to be huge changes after Infinity War.
Yeah.
And so Infinity War is kind of going to be that make and break point for the cinematic. It's where the cinematic will meet the next generation of the Marvel superheroes. And so that's where you're going to see Ms. Marvel coming, Captain Marvel, and all these new characters that are they're coming out. So it's going to be awesome. I'm truly excited for that. Thoughts, Austin?
I also like what he said about unexpected team-ups, because you think about who – well, it's all according on who is left after Infinity War, because we don't know how many people are going to make it or who's going to retire. Mm-hmm. I'd like to see like maybe a Black Panther and a Doctor Strange movie or an Ant-Man and a this. Just, you know, mix up the teams, man, because now that we have this conjoined universe, we don't just have to do these standalone movies. Once we get the origin stories out of the way, we can go crazy. Like right now they're doing a Hulk and Thor team-up movie for Ragnarok. I'd like to see more of that.
We get to see Planet Hulk.
Oh.
Please. I'm just going to leave that right there. Just
throw it on the table.
Drop that on the table, and I'm just going to walk away and hit the stop button right now. We're done. Goodbye, everybody. No, I'm just messing with you.
Topics, gas is up. Let's move back a little smaller scale and go to the CW. They released the synopsis for episode 7 of Supergirl, which the Girl of Steel will go toe-to-toe. Now, this is cool. Cyborg, Superman versus Supergirl. What are your thoughts on this, Joe?
Wow. Well, obviously,
did you ever think you would see this on the small screen? Ever?
No. I mean, and it's kind of weirdly coinciding with the cinematic part of that as well, because we saw Superman die in Batman versus Superman, and what happens when he dies? Well, you get the five Supermans that come out. You get Steel, and you get all the other ones. You know, Superboy. I can't remember if it's Superboy, but there's a bunch of them that come out, and then of course Superman comes out with the black suit. He's got the long mullet mohawk thing going on, the 90s flowing hair, his beautiful mane. But seeing this, too, Superman Cyborg was actually a part of that. Was he a bad guy? Then he turned good? Something like that. It was a storyline. I can't remember. Gosh, that was like 1994, 95. It's going to be interesting to see. Obviously, it's going to be the guy that plays Superman is going to be part of that cyborg, you know, makeup and prosthetic and all that. So, really interesting to see this stuff coming out, especially.
It's crazy.
And some of the characters we're getting on Gotham, too, on a side note, is just, I'm like, wow, they're really doing an amazing job with this. But
absolutely.
Moving along, we got some more Netflix news for you. With season 2 of Ultron, The Legendary Defender, getting ready to drop on Netflix, the franchise has started to pick up steam as news comes in from Universal that Voltron fans have been waiting for. Get ready for it. Hold on to your seats. You might want to sit down. All right, catch a deep breath. A live-action version of Voltron has been moved over to their live-actions department with writer David Hayter, who wrote screenplays for the first X-Men movies and Watchmen, is on board.
Oh.
dude.
So let's just leave. Leave that right there. The news this week, dude. I'm seriously
insane.
Voltron live action, which makes sense because you think of that Power Rangers is coming out.
Yeah, that's
true. In 2017, and you know that before Power Rangers, freaking Voltron. I was just going to say that right there. I'm sorry, but Voltron will always trump.
For sure.
Yeah, anyway.
And the Netflix series is so popular.
It's good. So popular. It's good. It's a good little cartoon, man.
Absolutely. For sure. For sure. So moving on, we have Kevin Smith's episode of The Flash is called Killer Frost, and it is set to air in the next few weeks. But Smith has moved his director's chair over to the Supergirl set for episode 9 called Super...
Supergirl lives.
Are you kidding me? And he's bringing his daughter, Harley Quinn Smith, with him, and she will be appearing in the episode. So we're getting a Supergirl Lives. What a time to be alive.
It's not Superman Lives. It's Supergirl. But wait. If you back up and we're looking at episode 7 of Supergirl, will Supergirl have a fake death going into episode?
Whoa.
Did you think about that?
Didn't even think about that, man. I was like, oh, they're carrying over the Superman Lives story to Supergirl, and it didn't cross my mind that, oh, wait.
Yeah.
Oh, crap.
Yeah, we could have a Batman versus Superman type scenario where she is, they may even do a funeral scene with Kara.
That is crazy.
I'm not saying anything. There may be nothing to that on television. But then again, it's kind of funny that in episode 7, she's fighting Cyborg Superman. Mm-hmm. Then episode 9, it's Supergirl Lives. Huh?
I think you've done it, Joe. I think you've hit the nail on the head, man.
Nailed it.
That's our prediction. Top X prediction. That's right there, man.
So, and it's really cool that Kevin Smith's daughter is named Harley Quinn.
Harley Quinn Smith.
Oh, my gosh. You know you're a nerd when. I mean, come on. That's just great. So, moving on with Katie Cassidy's will be bringing back the Black Canary, as she will be voicing the new character in the CW Seed animated show, Vixen. Black Canary will make her debut in episode 4. So if you're watching the CW animated show Vixen, man, you guys are in for a treat. Check it out. Put it in your DVR and enjoy. And sometimes you forget to enjoy the animated things that go along with the actual television dramas that we see play out.
And
a lot of times they're intertwined. It's just like Star Wars Rebels and all that. You got to get the full story before you go to the cinema.
And this is something that I personally need to catch up on because, first of all, I love all things DC animation.
Mm-hmm.
They kill it every single time. And the fact that this coincides with The Flash and Arrow and all that, I think that's really cool. And she's coming back to do the voice, which is awesome.
That is cool.
So moving on, Marvel has announced their new video comic series with the release of Spider-Man, Iron Man, and Black Panther. The Marvel video comic series are 3 minutes long. This is a motion-style comic that includes audio, video editing, dialogue, and a wider array of motion effects. They will begin airing on Disney XD's YouTube channel. This is one of the coolest things I've heard all week.
Wow.
This is awesome.
Animated comics. Now, I remember in like mid-2000s, Marvel.com rolled out this live form of comic books that you can actually click through and they would have animated sounds. Like you can hear the sounds, like if Peter Parker was walking down the street, you could actually hear the sounds of the street. And as you clicked over the next, you would hear like his web slinger go off or something like that.
Cool.
And this is really cool that they're going to be doing like semi-animated comics. That's what a way to bring it out. And that just makes sense. I mean, animations have come so far these days, they can crank that out like nobody's business.
And pushing comics towards today's generation too. Best way to do it.
And wrapping up the news this week, Doctor Strange, which is the movie of our episode that we're having this week, is crushed Thursday night openings with a 9.4. He's got money, son. $9.4 million, surpassing Thor: The Dark World, which brought in $7.1 million for a Thursday night opening. Now, Doctor Strange is on track to bring in between $80 to $85 million for the 4-day opening weekend. As of today, it has surpassed $325 million dollars worldwide.
That is
holy
insane.
Cow. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. Holy cow.
That's it's not just the United States either. Did you see its opening in China? It's the third biggest opening for
a
Marvel movie in China. China.
Is it opening
in
up China? In China?
They're biggest in China.
Oh, my God. It's crazy. That is a crazy amount of money. And that just shows you, too, that people are into Doctor Strange. They're into what Marvel is making.
Yes.
And I want to say this later on in the show, but even though Marvel's storylines and their movies are their origin stories, like Ant-Man, Doctor Strange, Iron Man, et cetera, they're all kind of similar. You've got the villain, you've got the tragic event, the trauma, the drama, and then you've got the resurfacing and the reinvention and kind of the reimagining of who you are as an individual superhero, all that stuff. So it's kind of cool to see how Doctor Strange's mysticism, the sorcerer supreme of all magic, is actually rocking. I want to also take this quick time out and say hello to Stacy over in the chat. She's hanging out with us on the YouTube Live. Got Doug Hawks. Doug actually went and saw Doctor Strange with me this weekend
at
Thursday.
That's awesome.
And he is actually a Central Florida native. Big shout out to my buddy Doug. Sweet. Love you, man. And we got Luke hanging out with us as well. And, of course, Lindsay Badger is throwing it down over in the chat room, keeping them active, keeping them busy, as always. Now, this week, we got some PopX Hit It of the Week. And, hey, be right back. I'm going to play that. Yeah.
And now it's time for PopX's Hit It of the Week.
All right. With the Cubs winning the World Series for the first time in 100
Really?
And 8 years.
I haven't heard about that.
You didn't hear about that?
No.
No, man. It's amazing. It's just like, holy cow. It has been 108 years. The Back to the Future predictions was almost right. Michael J. Fox tweeted out, only off by a year. Not bad. Congrats, Cubs. This is so heavy. Oh, man. Does that not like make you want to like get your geek on? Because I was thinking about that the night that they won the World Series. I was like, holy cow, Steven Spielberg's movie predicted this in 1991.
They were so close, man. How crazy is it that 108 years? Dude, they were off by 1 year.
After 108 years, they were off by 1 year. I will go on the record and give credit to Michael J. Fox, Steven Spielberg, and Christopher Lloyd. Yeah. You guys, I think that's close enough. I think you're good.
That is so impressive. Wow.
That's crazy. What's the next one you got here?
So the next one is, I'm just blown away from that.
As
Halloween is just behind us, we'll leave you with one last tidbit. It's been rumored for decades that the mask the murderous Michael Myers wore in the Halloween films was in fact based on William Shatner's face. Are you kidding me? And not just Shatner's face, but a Captain Kirk death mask created for Star Trek.
Yes, it's true.
What?
They created a lifelike mask for the film series when Star Trek, the motion picture, came out in cinemas. They created a death mask in case that they needed to make a prop or some kind of prosthetic, and they painted it white, and that is Michael Myers. That will forever be Michael Myers. And so if you notice, they just cut the eye part out and circled it out, but everything else is aesthetically William Shatner.
Wow.
So there you go. Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
So we can say William Shatner.
So every time you see Michael Myers kill somebody in John Carpenter's classic, just think about it. It's William Shatner. Yeah. Beat me up, Scotty. Yeah, that's crazy. All right, last but not least on this week's PopX Hit It of the Week, if you're also a gamer, especially on the PlayStation 4, I highly recommend getting the brand new Call of Duty Infinite Warfare, which I hold in my hand right here. This is beautiful. It's a great game. So I want to say this right now. If you're not a fan of how the Call of Duty franchise has been going the past few years with the futuristic warfare, you might want to get it because in this is the remastered Modern Warfare 4. Now, people remember, if you're a COD fan player like myself, Modern Warfare 4 was the game that pretty much put Call of Duty on the map. And they remastered it in stunning HD 4K quality, right here, and it is amazing. And it takes me back to my college days, and it takes me back to, I would say, 2006 on Christmas. I was playing this game. So that is definitely old school. And if you're also on the PlayStation Network, on the PlayStation 4, you can add me, and we'll suit up and we'll game together. I would be obliged to have any of my faithful listeners out there who are PS4, PSN Network people, just add me at ROTCAV, nice. ROTCAV, on the PlayStation Network, and we will suit up and we will game together, okay? But that's it. We've got all the news done. We're good.
All right. Are you ready, Joe?
Oh, my God.
Are you ready?
Oh, dude.
Let's go.
All right. So, Doctor Strange, here we go. So, I'm going to give a little bit of my background, and then Austin's going to give a little bit of his. And then we're just going to kind of go back and forth a little bit and share some of the things that we liked and some of the things that we didn't like or whatever. Some of our first impressions, some of the things that just kind of blew us away. And then right at the end, we're going to give you some really cool Easter eggs that you're only going to be able to find here on PopX. Now, these Easter eggs are things that are related to the movie. These were things that were in the movie, things you may not have known about, things you probably went, what was that again? We got it for you right here on the Easter eggs. But my first impressions of Doctor Strange, it was very positive. It was mind-blowing because right in the first 5 minutes of the film, you automatically see these world-altering effects going on. Mm-hmm. It's like, I can't explain. Yeah, exactly. That image says it. It's just like New York upside down. It's multi-dimensional. So having taken a peek at the dreaded Rotten Tomatoes rating, the film sustained an above overall 95% approval rating going into Thursday night.
That's crazy.
All right. So now it was considered certified fresh, which means it can never drop below, I think it's 65% approval rating on Rotten Tomatoes, if I'm not mistaken. You might want to, if you're any fact checkers out there, be sure to check that fact, but I'm almost certain that's it. So now my thoughts coming out of the theater were, when I was stepping out, what in the world did I just step out of? And in a good way, okay,
yeah,
don't miscombobulate what I just said. The film was unlike any Marvel Cinematic Universe production to date that I have ever in my life seen. And it shows how mysticism and spellbinding go literally, and you'll like this, hand in hand. Get it? He loses his...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, anyway. So, as Guardians of the Galaxy gave us otherworldly characters and planetary components, Doctor Strange gives us a whole new world to fall in love with. The multiverse and parallel dimensions. Now, Doctor Strange had a strong debut, of course, in the domestic box office. We said that earlier. It's expected to do $85 million in this opening weekend. And it was noted by Variety, which is Marvel's latest film, had a larger domestic debut than Thor, Captain America, The First Avenger, Ant-Man. And it's eclipsing this weekend's of 65.7 million, 65.1 million, and then on Ant-Man was 57.2 million, respectively. As such, the film now ranks as having the 10th biggest opening of Marvel Cinematic Universe's 14 films altogether, right behind Thor: The Dark Worlds at 85.7 million weekend haul. Now, as for my pros and cons, I want to pause right there, and I'm going to let Austin do a little bit of his introduction before we actually start going into the film itself.
I think what you said about it eclipsing, you know, Thor and Captain America, these are characters that, people at least kind of know of. Do you know how many people I've talked to that have said, who in the world is Doctor Strange? Mm-hmm. I went to a superhero 5K this weekend, and I was talking, I was telling everybody, you have to see Doctor Strange because this is the day after I saw it. And they were like, what is Doctor Strange? Is he like a, and I'm like, what?
They didn't get it.
Are you kidding me?
They don't get it.
But Doctor Strange is one of the unknowns. So I will start with this. Doctor Strange is probably the single most out there thing that Marvel has ever done.
Mm-hmm.
He is a B-level character with an A-level story, but studios have really been kind of afraid to take on this character because there have been cracks at Doctor Strange scripts before, but they've never really panned out because of how incredibly difficult it just to get the idea out on screen. Mm-hmm. And you know that if you've watched the movie.
Oh, yeah.
But now that we have the MCU, it was only a matter of time before we saw the sorcerer on screen. So when Marvel hired Scott Derrickson, who is a horror guy at heart, I knew that it was in good hands. But how good is this movie? According to critics so far, it is an impressive feat, but as we know, critics can sometimes be wrong. We know that as superhero mm-hmm. movie lovers. But this is not the case, Joseph. I completely agree with you. Rotten Tomatoes 90% approval rating, which is at its the last I checked, that's what it's at right now. Mm-hmm. Seems very accurate to me because personally, I can't see how anybody can give this movie below a 6.5 or a 6 or even like a 7 out of 10.
Yeah.
Because this is so even if you like or even if you dislike superhero movies, there is something in this movie for everyone that expands around that superhero movie cliche factor that, frankly, a lot of people, excluding me and you, Joe, because you know we love our superhero movies.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They're sick and tired of it, man. They're sick. I'm sick of superhero movies and all this stuff. But this is my favorite, and I told you this before the show, this is my favorite character introduction since Iron Man.
Wow.
Since Iron Man.
That's I would go going Iron back Man. To 2006. When was Iron
Dude,
Man?
That is 7, 8.
Yeah,
it was same year as Dark Knight, 2008.
2008, yes, yes. So, because Iron Man went to head to head with Dark Knight. Yep.
So I mean, and this is incredible because you know we've had Thor, we've had Ant-Man, we've had Captain, we've had this is my and I'm talking single characters, so not Guardians.
Mm-hmm.
Single character introductions. Doctor Strange is my favorite since Iron Man because just it's. Strictly different. That's the one word I'm going to use for it. It is different.
In a good way, though. When you think about origin stories and you think about how Marvel has created this, obviously there's some differential between the comics and what you see on the screen.
Absolutely.
But they have adapted in such a way that it appeals to the comics and it appeals to the cinematic moviegoer as well, who may not know so much about the comics. Absolutely. And I love the fact that they've included this story and they've included Doctor Strange in their Phase 4 rollout because Doctor Strange is the end of Phase 3 coming up with Guardians of the Galaxy, which should be officially the end of Phase 3. I think Spider-Man is going to be Phase 4. I think that it's a great transition because it's opening up so many doors for so much more possibility in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. You're not just limited to the Avengers, okay? Mm-hmm. So I want to get that plain and clear, and it's just really awesome to see how Marvel is adapting all of this and bringing it to the silver screen. And for me personally, I think it's really awesome because for the first time we see a character who, kind of like a Tony Stark, he's kind of, spoiler alert, you know, I should probably go ahead and play the spoiler alert warning before we go any further into this film and actually start talking about stuff. So we'll be right back before we unpack this.
You are about to enter a Pop-Pop-Pop-X spoiler alert. Beyond this point, there is no return. You have been warned.
All right, so you have been warned. So beyond this point, if you heard anything or you've seen anything or you hear it from us and you've not seen the movie, I'm sorry. That's not our fault, okay? So do yourself a favor. Go buy yourself a $10 ticket and go see the film, okay? Anyway, having said that, I think it's really awesome how you get a character like Doctor Strange, Stephen Strange, who is very cocky, very arrogant. He's kind of like Tony Stark in a way. But he's a very flawed individual because he doesn't have love and compassion. He's not connected to himself. He's connected to what he does with his hands. And his hands is literally his God. And when I say that is, he's a surgeon by trade. Dr. Strange refers to him as his PhD doctorate. He is a doctor. He's a well-known neurosurgeon. And so his hands is his money. It's his bread and butter, and it's almost like his idol, his hands. And in the film, Stephen loses. He's in a massive car crash because he looks down at his cell phone. This should be an awakening to anybody out there that texts and drives at the same time. You know, it's just kind of like, hello, wake up. But he loses the ability to use his hands. And what is so awesome about this, Austin, and I'm pretty sure that you'll probably agree with me, is like many stories that we've seen, whether it's old parables O wise tales, O fables, or whatever. The rich man spends everything, but he can't restore what he once had. You know, and you've heard that many, many times before. Well, of course, he's a doctor, and he's got luxury. He's got fast cars. He opens up a drawer, and there's like all these really fancy, probably $1 million worth of watches on him. And this, I mean, it's crazy how many watches this guy has. And then he's got this whole garage of sports cars. And wealth and fame and power, and all in just one single thing. Looking down at his cell phone, he's in a car crash and he loses the ability to lose his hands. And he spends all of his money, everything that he has, trying to fix it, but he can't fix it.
Wow!
Now, when you think about the story in that, and it's unlike anything you've ever seen, because Ant-Man, he's a criminal. He's given a suit, and he does some fun things with it.
He loves
this. This is kind of in depth. This is a broken individual who has to discover himself on a deeper level. It's almost like, I don't want to say like a journey of faith, but it kind of is that. It's a journey of faith and spirituality, and it's finding out who you are so you can heal yourself from the inside, and you can despite your disability, still do amazing things. So,
and I think like you said, Joe, I think that is why this is connecting with people that are not just fans of this Marvel Cinematic Universe, because this is a story that can speak to a huge group of people. Like you said, the deeper story within it. So you're talking the hardcore moviegoers who go for, you know, the great cinematography, the great directing, the great story. You have it for these guys. You have it for the hardcore comic book fans. Just watch the movie. Turn your ears off. Turn your brain off. Watch the movie.
Yeah.
The comic book fans are going to get a kick out of it. And then you have it for, you know, just the casual moviegoer. I know people that even went with me to watch the movie that they rarely go and watch movies, but they were intrigued about the idea, but they left the theater because they got something deeper. And that's why I think Doctor Strange is connecting with everybody, because there's something deeper to the movie.
Well put. And, you know, as we're going into kind of roll out our pros and cons, I just want to kind of, and Austin, I'm going to let you share yours first, and then I'll share, because I've talked so much already. But so what are some things you like, some things you didn't like about the film?
Okay, so when it comes to negatives, I only have a few. I thought the character of Caecilius, so we're talking the villain, was underdeveloped. And Mads Mikkelsen, it was kind of, I don't want to say wasted, but he was kind of, I'm going to say underused as an actor. Because Mads Mikkelsen is, in my opinion, one of the best out there right now. You've got him coming up in Rogue One. Mm-hmm. He's a huge television star. He has a lot of potential when he's in your movie. I didn't think they gave him enough to do. But I can look past that because the story makes it very evident that the focus here is on Stephen Strange. The focus is not on the villain, as is every Marvel movie. But I think this one a little bit more. And that's why I was also wanting to see some more character development from some of the other characters. Like, you know, the side Wong. I loved the character of Wong. I would have liked to have seen more. But, you know, these are mistakes that I can forgive because you can tell the story has a strong focus on getting Stephen Strange's journey through to the audience. This movie is all about his journey. Yeah. So I understand why the focus is on him.
Yeah, and not to interject, but I've seen a lot of articles and critics online kind of knocking Marvel for not making the villain the highlight of the movie. And, you know, that's not Marvel's forte. Marvel is about restoring. I mean, even though there's some huge big bads coming up in the cinematic universe like Thanos, it's interesting that, you know, well, it's not interesting. It's actually pretty awesome that Marvel slash Disney has kept the mantra of the hero being the hero and the villain being the villain, and that the hero is never above the villain. Does that make sense? And so it's the whole legacy of, like, you know, King Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table. It's the whole thing, that Arthurian legend, that's what the Avengers are based off of, the Arthurian legend. I don't know if you knew that or not. But so I like that, you know, keeping the main thing the main thing, and keeping the limelight on whose name isn't on the title. It's not Dormammu.
That's true.
Doctor Strange.
Yeah, I love that, Joe, and I think it serves importance too, because I think a lot of critics honestly are comparing these Marvel movies where they're complaining about the villain. I think they're comparing it to The Dark Knight because mm-hmm. that story, the focus was the Joker.
Yeah.
You know, and you can't do that with Marvel because Marvel puts the focus on their heroes and they treat the villain as the villain where you don't need to know their full backstory. Mm-hmm. So I like that. I think that's something that a lot of people should think about. There's one more thing I want to talk about in my negatives. It's not a negative for me, but I've heard a lot of complaints about the humor in the movie. People, the critics are like, oh, there's a little bit too much humor. I'm kind of 70-30. I like 70% of it, didn't like 30% of it. I loved the humor.
I actually liked it.
It was subtle. It was very, you know, there wasn't a lot of build up to the jokes, but when they happened, when they got fired at you, they worked.
Yeah,
because
they
were so, and that's what I like about Scott Derrickson is he's such a smart director and he's such a smart writer.
Yeah.
And I think he did a great job with the script. So for me, the humor worked. Now, Joe, do you want me to go ahead and give my positives too?
The positives and the negatives and how he wrote those jokes specifically. When you go mm-hmm. into this thinking, now, if you've not seen the – well, it's too late now. If you've seen the film already, you should have. We've already gave the spoiler alert warning, right? But the jokes are not comparable to Ant-Man, which is freaking funny and awesome at the same time. We're talking about subtle humor. We're talking about more like we're talking about Asgardian humor, possibly, I would say. More like Thor, you know, like subtle nods and jokes about things that are just kind of funny. So there is some humor in here, and the humor seems to work in a good way. So if you're going in this movie thinking, oh wow, this is gonna be like Ant-Man or something like that, no, it is an origin story. It's got its own character. It's got its own weight. So that's pretty much it. Yeah, go ahead and give your negatives as well, and then we'll go back to mine.
Okay, so I didn't at the beginning when you first see Dormammu. I didn't love the design, but as the scene developed, and we're talking about maybe the best scene in the movie, he kind of grew on me, man.
Yeah.
He kind of grew on me. And by the end of the time loop scene, I was completely 100% locked in.
Oh my God. Was that not awesome?
Dude, it was, like we said, the writing.
The writing,
dude. Whoever wrote this scene... Dude, I am so just fired up because this was just the smartest.
And I don't remember the time loop ever being used in a Doctor Strange battle against Dormammu.
Really?
No.
Really? So that wasn't part of the comics.
Now, don't quote me on that. I'm gonna challenge all my comic book readers out there. Now, if this was happened in the comics, the time loop scenario battle. Please let me know. Write me an email, popxcast@gmail.com, because I'm really intriguingly want to know if this was ever in the comics.
That is so cool. This is probably the smartest third act I've ever seen in a superhero.
Oh, yeah. It was great.
Because it was handled so well. And I'm trying to think of all the standout scenes, man, but there are so many standout scenes in this movie. I want to talk about Tilda Swinton, too.
Oh, yeah.
Because we're talking supporting characters. And spoiler alert, she dies, which sucks because she was flawless as the Ancient One. And you know, at first there was a lot of people complaining about how they didn't get an actor of Chinese descent and all this stuff. I get that. I completely understand that. But if we're talking about the performance alone and blocking out all that other noise, she was maybe my favorite character in the entire movie.
She's awesome. She is so awesome.
She is so awesome, man. And so the cinematography, the score, everything was played so well. And I think the score, to me, this might be the best score I've heard
for
a standalone Marvel character.
Wait for it. What is your score?
What?
I know we're talking about the film. We're talking about the actual musical score. But when you said score, why would you score this?
Oh, Joe. Oh, man.
I'm putting you on the spot here. I know I am.
Okay. I'm going to go 8.3 out of 10. 8.3
nice.
Out of 10.
Nice.
Because the everything that we're and keep nobody
that's
knows
that's pretty
this, that's
good.
One of the highest. That's one of the highest scores I've given to an individual standalone Marvel character. This is something that is so different, so out there, and I really enjoyed this to the point to where I can say it is one of my favorite movies of the year. I would put it in my top 10, maybe top 5. That's how much I enjoyed this movie. And if we're talking about one more positive, Joe, real quick, can we talk about the visuals in this movie?
Oh, gosh, can we? Please.
We're talking about the visuals.
Please, direct us down the path, man.
This is some of the trippiest, most insane, psychedelic stuff I have ever seen on screen. Maybe the most visually pleasing experience I've ever had in a movie theater. Yeah. I'm talking over Inception, over, I mean, this is something, and not even everything that was happening, like, on the screen, mm-hmm. the score mixed in with that, the sound effects, and just the color rushes that were coming at you when he was going through these portals into these other galaxies, through these time warps. I mean, this, and the scene where the hands are growing out of his hands.
Yes. The hands are growing out of him.
And wrapping around.
It was like a Mandelbrot for his fingers. You know, yes. It's like, what is going on here?
That's the horror director in Scott Derrickson, man, because this is the guy who's brought us many horror movies, who's wrote many horror scripts. You can see that horror element in there, and I think that's just what Doctor Strange needed, man. So I'm going 8.3 out of 10. Love this movie, Joe. I want to hear some of your positives.
Okay. Well, as for me, as I clear my throat and get ready for this. So all my pros and cons of the film, I will start with the cons first. I had none. So, there's some things that I can nitpick easily. Yeah, the villain development is okay. The sub characters like Wong and Mordo, it's okay, but again, the focus is not on them, and that's where people really lose sight when they try to write these articles about the film. The film is called Doctor Strange. It's not called.
Dude, that's where I saw all the negative reviews I read.
Yeah.
They were saying there wasn't enough focus on these side characters.
I'm like, why?
And that's literally all I saw.
I mean,
yeah, exactly.
Are you missing the point here? It's called Doctor Strange. It's his origin story. Not the origin story of Dormammu. Not the origin story of Wong. Not the origin story of the Ancient One. Or the
How does
Mystic
that bring
Arts?
It to a 5 out of 10? I don't understand that. How does that little nitpick bring it to a 5 or
well,
a
4 here,
out of 10?
Here, I'll tell you how that. Something. Because somebody out there has never read a Doctor Strange comic from the historic, from the era of the 60s and 70s. They never picked up Strange Tales, number 144, and seen the Voodoo Man or any of those guys. And they have no idea who this is. They have no idea what Doctor Strange is. And so going into that, that is their mindset. This is weird. Clemens, will you go get me another Merlot? I think I'm going to faint. Yes, anyway. I'm done with that. Anyway, so there are some things I can nitpick. And the story development of Stephen Strange particularly was awesome. I have no beefs, no gripes, nothing with Stephen Strange. And so there's some minor things with the character development of the sub characters, but I'm going to leave it at that. You got to leave it at that. And so I'm done with that part. And so the sub characters are okay. Yeah. Slightly underdeveloped. It could have went a little bit more, in depth, but is it really needed? Is it really necessary?
Yeah,
probably
true.
Not. Probably not.
That is true.
So, I honestly couldn't find a single con, as the film is so immersive, it carries its own weight in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and everything from the score, like you were saying, the film score, the music, and the scene when he's having his outer body experience in the ER, and he is literally talking to the nurse while she's about to go inside of his, I'm like, holy cow, she's going inside of his chest. Here he is in spirit form talking to her over his own body.
And then the spirit battle.
Dude, the spirit battle Caecilius, yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
How does
Never
that happen?
Thought I'd see anything like that on screen.
It was beautiful. It was crazy. And then it's this whole interdimensional concept that we're talking about, multiverses, interdimensions, other dimensions, mirror dimensions, things like that. So get ready for that. I mean, it's really awesome, and you need to be prepared going into Phase 4 because this is the new Marvel. This is where it's going. So I love the references to the 60s and 70s Steve Ditko artwork. Now, I'm a huge fan of Steve Ditko. Originally it was Stan Lee that created Doctor Strange, and Jack Kirby was the original inker and pencilist for this, but Steve Ditko took Stephen Strange and catapulted him into a hole, and he actually was able to visualize in a comic book form in the 70s what the dark dimensions would look like. So it's really amazing to see that influence of Steve Ditko come into the actual cinematic universe. And it was really awesome to see how the dot matrix printing of the comics translated into the real-life scenarios of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. My biggest pro over the whole film is that we, like I said this earlier, we have a flawed man who reveres himself as his own god. And he takes for granted that one thing that his hands, he takes it for granted. And his life crumbles after the car crash. And he has an inability to use his hands from that point forward. His life saving, his money making, his bread and butter, his everything that he's valued as a human being is wrapped up into his two hands. And so the top surgeon uses all of his riches and all of his procedures after procedure to no avail. And he's facing his own demons and coming to terms with himself on a spiritual level that's the only way for him truly to be healed and to overcome his afflicted hands. And you see many times his hands are just like shaking, you know, and because the nerves are just gone, he's shot, he's had multiple surgeries trying to fix himself, and he can't. And so it's just a really well thought out movie, and it kind of hit me on a deeper level that, you know, you can be a flawed individual and you can be disabled, but at the same time, there's so much power and strength in you that your spirit can excel above and beyond that disability. Dude, that fires on all cylinders in my brain. You have no idea. And so it's really amazing to see a movie that actually gets it. So what do you got, anything else?
I wanted to say one other thing that I heard before we started the show. We were talking about the score. The guy who did the score, I believe his name is Michael Giacchino.
Mm-hmm.
Marvel just hired, because they were so pleased with his score for Doctor Strange, they just hired him for Spider-Man Homecoming.
Nice. Nice.
Saw that right before the show started, man, and we were
nice.
Talking about that.
So
that just shows you the impact of a glorious composer. He also did the music for Rogue One as well. So he's a great composer.
Oh, man.
Great composer.
So that's great. So we're going to get some good flair from that. Yes. So my score. I would give this movie out of a 10 a very rock solid 8.7. Now it's you know, when you get up to like the 9.3s and the 9.2s, you're talking like Captain America: Civil War, which is iconically one of the most epic comic book movie films we've ever seen to date.
Ever.
And it's like at the top tier of any list for anybody. But 8.7 firmly because of the character development. I love the individual. He's a flawed man. He's got some pride issues, and that is taken away from him. And he's almost like the prodigal son in the Bible. You know, he's got to return home, you know, with his head hand down and his tail tucked between his legs, because where do you go from here when you have no money and you can't heal yourself anymore? Yeah, so.
And one more thing, Joe. We were talking about the arc. I would say Doctor Strange, through one movie, not through a series of movies, through one movie, had the best character arc of any Marvel character I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Best character arc. Because he goes from a complete and utter jerk at the beginning of the movie to a humble person who understands what he needs to do. And I think that is incredible.
He discovers humility.
Absolutely.
He discovers humility in the midst of his own trials. And so I think that's from our heart to yours, that's pretty much where we are with Doctor Strange. As you can tell, Austin and I and Team Pop X truly love this movie. And we're going to go see it again and again and again. And it's definitely going to be one that's it's going to be one of the most memorable Marvel movies, aside from Civil War, that I've seen in a long time. And I'm really happy to say that. So we got some top 13 Easter eggs, and we're going to kind of roll through these quickly as we enter the last few minutes of Pop X. And so the first one is some Pink Floyd love. Now, the appreciation is mutual, too. with the British band featuring artwork from Strange Tales number 158 on the cover of their second album. Yes, look at that. That is Pink Floyd's second album featuring actual artwork by Jack Kirby on the cover of their own album. Do you see that?
I love that. That's incredible.
I'm just saying that right there. So that's Strange Tales number 158 on the cover of their second. And so it's A Saucer Full of Secrets, 1968. Incidentally, that piece of art by Mary Severin features another character referenced elsewhere in the movie, the Living Tribunal.
The Living Tribunal. Joe, let's talk a little bit about that in our second Easter egg. It is, in fact, one of the most powerful beings in all of Marvel. This vast humanoid cosmic entity protects the multiverse from destruction. It usually intervenes when the cosmic balance is seriously threatened. In the comics, Doctor Strange was one of the first Earth dwellers to encounter this awesome being. Interestingly, the Living Tribunal's power is said to dwarf that of the Infinity Gauntlet. So this dude is extremely powerful.
Mm-hmm.
That is insane. So his power is said... Oh, I'm sorry. And this is going to... So since this references this, Joe, would this mean that this is going to be in future Marvel movies?
Well, you remember when Wong... was it Wong that picked up the staff and said, oh, this is where this is the power of the Living Tribunal? Do you remember that? And he kind of jolted that staff, and you could see the life force moving inside of it. Well, that was one of the relics of the Living Tribunal. And so I think with them introducing this Living Tribunal, they may be doing a Trump All character that will actually dominate Thanos.
Dude.
I'm just saying.
They were going
We're digging deep, dude. And, it's really bizarre, because why would you mention that, him being one of the most powerful beings? The only other person that could even remotely stand up to the Living Tribunal will be Galactus.
And he's not even in this.
He's not even in this franchise.
Marvel canon.
No.
Wow. So either way, it's good to know it exists, just in case the Avengers don't patch things up.
That's pretty much.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, so number three on this list, number three of your Easter egg facts, more mystical artifacts. There's a lot of weird words uttered in Doctor Strange, but almost all of them are rooted in source material from the comics. For instance, the Wand of Watum, which Mordo mentions in passing and is wielded by Wong at the movie's climax, is a recurring MacGuffin in plenty of Strange stories. In the comics, there are six mystical artifacts from different dimensions that bear the name. They are objects of immense power, capable of greatly enhancing the mystical energies of its wielder. The very first Wand of Watum was broken until it was reconstructed by the disciples of Dormammu.
Oh, that's so cool.
Oh, yeah.
Dude. We're getting spiritual.
I'm telling we're having a religious experience right here on Pop-X.
So speaking of expanding our minds, we're talking about Stanley expanding his mind.
Excelsior.
So as Strange tumbles through a kaleidoscopic Manhattan, he slams into the side of a bus carrying his co-creator, Stanley. one of the best short scenes in the movie, man. He's just on a bus.
He's just there.
So what he's busy doing is he's immersing himself in Aldous Huxley's 1954 essay, The Doors of Perception, which is a philosophical account of Huxley's experiences while using mescaline, a naturally occurring hallucinogen with effects similar to LSD. This is a reference not only to the trippy quality of Steve Ditko's early work on Doctor Strange, but also the way in which the character resonated with, and in some respects, foreshadowed the trends of 1960s counterculture. So this is an Easter egg within an Easter egg within an Easter egg.
It is a paradox of Easter eggs. Inception, Cumberbatch, and Huxley. What the heck is going on? And you were actually number five as we graduate into number five. You were talking about Ditko. Ditko's Dark Dimension is number five, and the influence of Strange's other creator, Steve Ditko, is also it's kind of pretty. It's a big deal, And when you see Dr. Strange here on the screen, and if you're listening to the audio podcast, you have no idea what you're missing. Do yourself a favor, hit pause on the audio, and go check out our YouTube feed and check out these visuals that we're dropping for you. Yes. So nowhere is there more evident than when we enter the Dark Dimension towards the film's conclusion, its inhabitable work of Ditko is literally brought to life on the big screen. So you see Ditko, now this is the artwork I was telling you about, and he actually visualized Doctor Strange, what it may look like in the 60s and 70s going into the dark world. Can you look at this artwork from that era?
Dude,
and did they not? And can we go back to the other one? Can we go back to the one from the actual cinematic one and just look at the comparison right quick? Look at that. I mean,
can you believe they adapted it that closely, though, Joe?
Dude,
can you believe that?
Dude, that's freaking awesome.
It's
impressive. Wow. That's exactly what that is.
Mm-hmm. So moving on to number six. Am I saying this right, Joe? Nicodemus, right? Nicodemus West, the doctor who operates on Strange's hands and steals free crisps from the hospital vending machine, which was hilarious.
Yeah.
Nicodemus West, he played in the movie by Michael Strolbarg. West is a prominent character in The Oath, 2007, a popular five-issue Doctor Strange miniseries by Brian K. Vaughan and Marcos Martin, which heavily influenced the tone of the movie. In that story, West follows Strange to Kamar Taj and also trains under the Ancient One before leaving prematurely and fulfilling a more devious role. So it's possible that West is being set up to have a larger role in the future movies, or perhaps it was just a nice wink in the story.
Yep. And you remember West was actually the guy that did operate on his hands originally. And there was a scene, too, when they were in the operating room when Dr. Strange hands him the scalpel. And remember that towards the end of the film? And he has him do this?
Just saying, basically, that he trusted him.
Yeah.
You know, and I thought that was
cool. And so speaking of the Oath's operating scene, let's unpack that one right quick. The Oath provided more direct inspiration for one of the movie's most memorable scenes, in which Christine Palmer operates on Strange while speaking to his astral form. Now, the scene plays out in The Oath almost identically on the screen, except for the source material. In the source material, it's the night nurse from Daredevil.
Yes.
So, obviously, obviously that the Night Nurse has not been established. Night Nurse is a different character altogether over in Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, and Daredevil. So, that's a total different being. So, this nurse was brought in to be that nurse, but it's not Palmer. So,
That is so cool, man. Mm-hmm. So, next we're moving on to, and this is really cool, The Book of Cagliostro. So, while Strange is most closely associated with the Book of Vishanti, the movie's plot revolves around an incantation taken from the Book of Cagliostro, a magical text penned in the late 18th century that gathers together mystical knowledge from countless sources. So in the comics, the book was stolen by Baron Mordo, who wished to use its power to defeat the Ancient One. In the movie, it's Caecilius who steals the text in the opening sequence. In the comics, the book contains knowledge to control time. In the movie, it is slightly reworked. It contains information on how to use the Eye of Agamotto to achieve the same thing. So they did change a few things, but overall,
it's the story itself mechanism.
It's pretty similar. It's pretty closely adapted.
And number nine on the list, as we're wrapping up, we're getting close to that number 13 here. Thank you, Master Hamir. In Strange Tales number 133... the Sorcerer Supreme, with one hand, who Strange mistakenly presumes to be the Ancient One, is an allusion to Hamir the Hermit. In early issues, the Strange Tales, he was Ancient One's personal servant, and later we also found out that he was the father of Wong. Now, you remember when the Ancient One in the movie said Stephen Strange was struggling to do his magic because of his shaking hands, and then the Ancient One points over to the guy who didn't have a hand. Remember that he had an amputee, and he was able to do the vortex and able to cast a spell.
Man.
So that was kind of a nice little foreshadow, even though the particular character in the movie is not Wong's father. It was kind of a nice nod to that particular storyline.
But still, it's a good Easter egg, man.
Oh, dude.
So next, Daniel Drum. who has been confirmed by a prequel comic that came out before the movie, the brother of Jericho Drum, a.k.a. Brother Voodoo, another heroic sorcerer in the Marvel comics. Jericho frequently summons his brother's spirit as a source of strength and power. Daniel's death at the hands of Cassilius definitely opens up the possibility of us seeing Jericho Drum down the line.
Yeah, and Brother Voodoo and Jericho actually do many battles together in the spirit world, and it's almost like a Batman and Robin type thing where Jericho Drum and Brother Voodoo are tag team partners with Doctor Strange into protecting the New York coven, so it's pretty awesome. And so number 11 is the Eye of Agamotto. We found this out in the movie. Is, in fact, the Time Infinity Stone. So at the end of the movie, Wong finally confirms something that we've all been since long suspected. The Eye of Agamotto is in fact the Infinity Stone. And so it's having witnessed its power in Doctor Strange, and Doctor Strange is able to twist his hands and fast forward and reverse time, literally on its flux. I think we can safely identify that this is, in fact, the Time Stone. That means that only the Soul Stone now remains unaccounted for. The Soul Stone. Unaccounted for in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
I have a question for you, Joe. Sure. Which movie is the Soul Stone first appearing? Is it going to be Thor? Is it going to be Infinity War? Which one? Which one, man? It's a tough question.
Man, I think it's going to be Thor Ragnarok. I think they're going to drop it in Thor Ragnarok, which is going to be a nice lead up to Infinity War. I think it has to be Thor Ragnarok.
Absolutely, man. So let's move on to number 12. Strange turns down an interesting case. So moments before his life-changing car crash, Strange evaluates a series of potential cases. The first one he turns down is described an Air Force colonel who has been injured wearing experimental armor. While some believe this to be Rhodey, a.k.a. War Machine, who was paralyzed during Civil War, or perhaps the test pilot we saw using one of Justin Hammer's knockoff suits in Iron Man 2, Scott Derrickson, who was the director, told us it's neither. You shouldn't read too much into that phone conversation. Now, I, being a comic book nerd, am reading into it, and I'm going to say it's the events of Iron Man 2. That's what I'm going to say. But that's my mind. Man.
Yeah,
that's my
absolutely. Mind. And you can see the animation there of Mr. Hammer's failed suit that everything just flops in his way, as we know that. And last but not least, I get the pleasure of unpacking this one. Cumberbatch plays Dormammu. Now, while the movie's second villain, Dormammu, is mysteriously absent from the film's closing credits, the director later revealed to us that the facial capture for the character was performed by none other than Benedict Cumberbatch himself.
No way.
While the voice was provided by an unidentified British actor.
Wow.
Here's what Derrickson said about the dual role and how it came about. This is Derrickson's words. "We knew it was all a CG character. But as we were in production, Benedict brought it up as an idea. He said, 'What would you think about me doing it?' I said, 'Well, let me think about it. You know, it's an interesting idea because I did fancy the idea as the other dimensional being. He's not moving through the dark dimension with a countenance, with his eyes and face and mouth and human visage. Why would he? He takes that form on to communicate with Strange. So you got to think about that. So Dormammu is omnipresent in the dark dimension. The more I thought about it, the more I liked the idea," said Derrickson, "because no one understood Dormammu better than Benedict himself, because he was the counter to Dormammu. I also wrote that role behind because he's an ultra inflated version of Doctor Strange himself. He is an ego run amok. He is a cosmic conqueror where literally everything in the multiverse is about him. There's something interesting about this confrontation of this little tiny guy who has this power of a time loop and this monstrous conqueror who is trapped by this clever time trap gambit that Stephen Strange finds himself into in one of the final scenes. There's something about it that worked well, and I didn't think anybody to interact with Benedict that could do it just other than Benedict Cumberbatch himself. So there you have it. Ladies and gentlemen, Benedict Cumberbatch is both the hero and the villain in Doctor Strange.
Best Easter egg of the night.
There you go.
That is incredible.
Yes.
Wow.
Boom.
That's awesome.
And having said that, we are officially done with our Doctor Strange number 37 PopX cast. What do you think, man?
Man, I had so much fun. This was something that I've been looking forward to all year, and just to get it all out there and talk about how good this movie was fantastic. Oh, I had a blast. Great show.
It's really truly been fun. And you know, if you're going to see the movie this week or the next weekend or something like that, be sure to drop us a line, tweet us at PopXCast. We want to know about it. We want to know what you thought about it. More importantly, because we want to share that. And as always, if you see something exciting on the shelves or in the theater or around geek culture in general, let us know. We do have a PopX hotline. You can call it. It's 850-417-7679. That again is 850-417-POP. Nice, Mike. Nice.
If
you're on the audio version, you have no idea what Mike's doing over here on the visual. It's pretty awesome.
It's a Spider-Man phone.
It's a Spider-Man phone.
Also, we are part of an amazing network called the Gonna Geek Network. For all things even more geeky, head over to GonnaGeek.com and check out some amazing podcasts on our home network. Mm-hmm. Also, follow us on these social medias. We have Facebook, Instagram, Tumblr, Patreon, Twitter, Pinterest, at PopX. Email us at PopX@gmail.com. We would love to hear from our listeners. Also, future and past shows, always check out our official website, www.popxcast.com. I am Austin Burke at the Burkinator. It's like the Baconator with a 3 instead of the E. And I also have YouTube.
It's Baconator?
Austin Burke. It's like the Baconator. I do movie reviews and reactions on there. So please, if you get the chance, just you don't even have to. It's whatever. It's your decision.
Dude, you are unhinged tonight, I'm telling you.
I am unhinged.
And guys, I am Joe Burke, a.k.a. at Rockav, R-O-T-C-A-V, on the internet and on PlayStation 4 if you just happen to pick up the brand new Call of Duty game. Be sure to add me, and I want to give a huge hats off to Team PopX, Lindsay Badger, for holding down the amazing PopX Live chat room. Lindsay Badger, we love you. We thank you so much. And also to Mr. Mike Ippolito with the slideshow graphic love. Mike, we love you, dude. Man,
Mike killed it tonight.
Oh, look at this! Oh wait, oh, is he really going? He's all right. Wait, what happened?
I don't know. All right, is this a show? Are we on a show?
Are we streaming?
We just get flashed by the Men in Black thing.
We just played into that so good, didn't
we? For the audio
listeners. That was great. That was great. Yeah. The audio listeners are like, what are you doing?
What are you guys doing?
Just had Will Smith flash us with the MIB flash, so that was us.
Or did we?
I don't know what happened. We can't approve nor disapprove. Anyway, so guys, listen to this. There's no show next week. I'm going to be up in New York celebrating Blue Man Group's 25th anniversary on Broadway. Be sure to follow my feed on Instagram at ROTCAV for all the cool NYC postings. And Big Mike will be up there with me as well here from Team PopX. He'll be joining me up in New York. And we will return on November the 20th with episode 38, Marvel's Luke Cage review. Where we'll be talking about Luke Cage. So I'm excited to dive into all 13 episodes and see what you think about it, Austin, and what Lindsay think. Lindsay's going to be returning with us on that one as well. So we're going to have the trifecta, the Austin, Joe, and Lindsay on that
about.
One. So join us from all of us here. I want to thank everybody for listening. And, hey, drop us a line. Let us know what you think. Austin, as good as always.
Listen, man, this has been one of my favorite shows in recent memory. Guys, if you haven't seen Luke Cage, go watch it.
You have 2 weeks. You have 2 weeks now. All right. Take care. We'll see you next time on PopX Cast.
From everyone at PopXCast, thanks for listening. Be sure to give us a 5-star rating on iTunes and subscribe for more great content. Drop us an email, popxcast@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook and YouTube, all at PopXCast. Get your geek on.